It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like adultery. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be line. With a death wish, be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Show, and Sean and I have to do an investigation to start because we didn't play this clip on this show yesterday. It has certainly made the rounds. It's from your quarterback, CJ Stroud. We played a clip in that same vein where he talked about the guys not practicing the way he thought they should, and maybe it led to the results of what we saw. Or the results that we saw on Sunday against the Rams. I mean, the defense, we can't take much issue with them. I imagine CJ's directing some of his consternation. And speaking of consternation, that's a word we can investigate where I learned and why I use it. But it's part of this investigation. Word choice. Where did CJ Stroud learn or decide the word lollygag is a word he wanted in his vocabulary? It's an old word. You don't hear it very much anymore. It's an appropriate way to describe someone who's not going their hardest, not trying their best. If you were in the 1800s, where did the soon-to-be 24-year-old find lollygag from? If you missed it, it's part of his assessment of how the team got themselves prepared for the game against the Rams. Here's CJ Stroud.
So when you come out NFL lollygagging and, you know, not going through the motions, that kind of happens. So I think we'll be all right, but I think it's a good wake-up call for us.
Lollygagging. Sean, you are a bit older than CJ Stroud. Can you remember the last time, other than surrounding his quote, can you remember the last time you've used the word lollygag?
Oh, I've used it.
Or even heard it. You know, it from someone in that age range. Like, you might have heard it.
I was going to say, it's like, I feel like when I was a kid, like, coaches would say it.
Yeah, I'm sure this is the question that goes beyond why is he saying it at nearly 24 years old. Where did he hear it from? I would assume it's a coach, right? You suggested yeah. Ryan Day.
Yeah, right. Just looking at him, I could see him saying, having lollygag in his vocab.
It feels like lollygagging would have come from a high school coach.
That too.
But a high school coach who was coaching a kid during the 70s. Like, I was a high school football player. My coaches used different language to tell people they were not trying their best or not running hard. The lollygag one, just it made news because it's starting quarterback of a team talking about his team not playing up to the level he thinks they should play. And the lollygag suggests, KJ says, pussyfooting around is another one that you can say as well. Yes, that's another one. But you would hear that more often than you hear lollygag.
Yeah, I've heard my dad say that way more recently than lollygag.
Yeah, I don't know where he got it, but wherever he got it, it is the pull quote that is that's going around. CJ Stroud talking about how his team lollygagged out there and it led to the loss. I don't know that I saw that on the field, but if he saw it in practice, I guess he saw it in practice.
Yeah, because this answer was like a minute. I forgot if it was a minute before or a minute after he had the other answer where the like big takeaway was that it was like they didn't take practice seriously enough or whatever it was. So I assume that the lollygagging took place during practice. And it's like interconnected with what he was saying. And we played that yesterday, that they they didn't have a good week of practice or whatever. So yeah, I because I remember, like, I was like, during the game, it didn't look like they're out there not trying. It just looked like they're not playing well.
Exactly.
It's execution.
Yeah, but as I said, if the man saw a lack of urgency in practice, then I guess he saw a lack of urgency. Or he's just up there giving reasons why. Sometimes, you know, we say it here. Man, you're just up here saying stuff. Yeah. Maybe that's what he was doing. He's up there.
I have to answer 10 minutes
worth
of questions.
Yeah, he's at a loss for why it happened. You know, his unit didn't play particularly well. I'm sure they thought they had a good game plan ready to go for the Rams, and it didn't work out. So, hey, guys are out there lollygagging in practice, and hopefully it changes. And it's also a way of saying, hey, they're not better than us. We just didn't do what we were supposed to do, as opposed to we just got beat.
You should have said trick off.
That's a Rafael Stone saying. That belongs to Rafael Stone and us, because we like that Rafael Stone said it. So your quarterback thinks the team was lollygagging and wasn't practicing the way they should. We'll see if there's a response this week. They got the Bucs on Monday night. A Bucs team who will make you pay if you're lollygagging, getting prepared to play them. The Bucs had a come-from-behind win against the Falcons, so that Baker Mayfield-led team wins in week one, and they have a young receiver that it looks like he's on his way to being a star in Emeka Buka, who is another one of C.J. Stroud's teammates. Kind of happens when you play at Ohio State. You're going to just run into your teammates. Feels like almost every week. In this case, just another guy he threw the football to. So Emeka Buka will be in town against CJ and the Texans. Monday Night Football. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was online saying, we got you. Support us on Monday. So the Texans in prime time. And a must win, Sean. If you go 0-2.
Yeah. You have like
a very small
12% chance.
Yeah, so you gotta win. The Texans are all of a sudden in the must win.
Must win.
If we go by historical precedent. So if you guys are thinking, it's week two. No.
No.
Don't lollygag your fandom going into the game.
No.
You need to show up with the energy that suggests it's desperation time.
And the Colts are 1-0 by Monday. They could very easily – I don't know who they're playing. So I don't know how easy it is. But they theoretically could be 2-0. Same thing with the Jags. So you could be in a deep hole before the season really even starts.
That's right.
Must win.
Must win. You don't want to be 0-2 in this division.
You can't. It's a 17-game schedule, Dell. You know what you can't do? You can't lollygag.
What are the percentages of going 0-2 during a 17-game schedule?
I think it's
16.
I think it's a little bit higher.
Yeah,
I think a team made it 0-2. I forgot who did it, but I think a couple years ago.
Yeah. So either way, you don't want to lose your first two games of a season, and you're going to be the showpiece on Monday Night Football. As a lot of interviews discussing all the changes that have happened in Houston, CJ having more input on what goes on play to play, the sit down interviews, because Monday Night Football will be in town, so it'll be a lot of that, a lot of Texans coverage leading up to the game. So now they gotta practice really hard because the eyes are on them.
Are we gonna get Troy and Joe, or are we getting the backup? Are we the second Monday night game, or are we the real Monday night game?
Who is the other Monday night?
The other Monday night game is Chargers Raiders at 9:00.
I don't know how they treat that. Do they give Troy and Joe
the better game or
the earlier game? I don't know how it works. Honestly.
Which one's
on which network?
So Bucks Texans is going to be on ABC / ESPN.
Then I think Joe and Troy go to there.
Yeah, and then Chargers Raiders is only on ESPN, but I think that's because it starts at 9:00 and it would interrupt the 10:00 news.
I imagine the game that winds up on ABC goes to Troy. Yeah.
Okay,
and the Joe.
Good. So they're playing in the real Monday night game.
I would think so. Because
leave the Pac-12 stuff over to Vegas and L.A.
Yeah, West Coast football.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, is Yogi Roth available to call the game? If people don't know, it's very inside. He's a USC. He called USC against your Pac-12 network at the time when that network actually existed. So there it is. I'm sure Awful Announcing will have it up. If it's not already, then in the next couple of days, yeah. Who will be on these calls?
They might even set it last night on the broadcast.
I'm sure they probably did, but I was in the middle of getting my hot take ready, telling you how McCarthy sucks, and then he did what he did. Now I got to change my mind. That game was the epitome of what hot take artists leap on. Like, the rookie quarterback, not even rookie quarterback, second-year quarterback, but rookie by experience, yeah, is out there struggling. Man, don't you think the Vikings made a mistake? Maybe they should have been all in on Aaron Rodgers, considering how he played. Maybe they should have kept Sam Darnold. And then he flashes in the fourth quarter and wins the game then, and it's like, doesn't matter who's coaching the Bears offense.
Yeah, Bears gonna bear.
The Bears are gonna bear. Yeah, you had all these options, and it landed in a way that made our coworker Joe probably likely miserable, considering, or maybe he's immune to it because he's used to Bears bad offense. But Caleb Williams looked nice on a couple plays, and then it just reverted back to the same Bears offense I've seen for the better part of my life. Stagnant, non-explosive, and eventually their defense can't hold up because their offense won't put a drive together.
No, they put up some stat where the Vikings had like 150 yards of offense in the fourth quarter, and I think the Bears at one point were at like -1. Now they didn't have a drive.
Yeah, they did have a touchdown drive late.
But it was as they were blowing the lead. It was just like so bad.
Yes, it was awful. But hey, we don't have to worry about that. We got our own young quarterback who, you know, didn't score a touchdown in week one. Didn't score in the second half. So maybe we do have some problems to discuss. And, you know, the conversations about the Texans never really rise to, hey, this whole D'Amico thing, what's up with that? Because it's generally the O-line, the OC, the players. But I talked about it yesterday. We are now 2+ years into this team can't avoid penalties. It's only week one, and I will refuse to do the, hey, should D'Amico be on the hot seat? Because it's a conversation that's ridiculous, and nothing will rise to the level. But I am interested in the conversation of how long does he get before people are like, man, what are we doing here? I think we're far away.
I think we're far away, but
we'll wait on it. We'll talk about it when we come back. What gets us there? Does an 0-2 start even get people there? Because he's not the native son, but he's treated that way because he used to play here. And he came back and took this team from the doldrums into competitive and with real aspirations of doing something great. Coaches, particularly the one in Miami, is already under fire. He's made the playoffs twice in his tenure. Hasn't won a playoff game. You know, Brian Daboll is there. He's won a playoff game, and they want him out, and they're already asking him about Jackson Dart. D'Amico's immune to all of that. I just wonder, do people even consider it or consider him an issue, considering some of the things that happened last year, continuing at least through week one to happen this year? We'll get to that when we come back. We have U of H tickets giveaway. If you want to see the Cougs versus the Buffaloes, we're going to give away tickets for that a little bit later in the show because Coach Prime is in town and Colorado has named their starter. It's not one of the highly touted guys, whether it be the transfer or the five-star freshman. It's a guy who helped them win their last game. So the Cougs know who to prepare for, and certainly more sound from the Texans and some sound from Liam Cohen, who kind of illustrated why, if you had Brian Thompson Fantasy League, why you should blame Trevor Lawrence for Brian Thomas not having a good day. We'll get to that and more. And some Texans injury news when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew. How old is your home? If it's 40 years or older, you might need a whole house repipe. Old pipes leak and corrode. This can damage your home and give you crappy quality water. Plus, old pipes can burst in freezing temperatures. You need Aqueduct Plumbing. They'll repipe a one-story, two-bath home for only $5,500. Even if your home is larger, they have great pricing. Aqueduct has done thousands of repipes. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com or call 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238.
Attention taxpayers. If you owe $5,000 or more and have missed another tax deadline, you're you're officially on the IRS's radar. The IRS has resumed aggressive collections. That means wage garnishments, bank levies, even seizures of your home, car, or retirement accounts. If you owe $5,000 or more and miss the deadline, you're stacking new debt on top of what you already owe. Call Priority Tax Relief now. Their experts fight back fast and are saving their clients millions in tax debt every month.
I owed over $50,000. And they settled it for pennies on the dollar. These guys are as legit as they come.
After speaking on my behalf with the IRS, my entire debt of $25,000 will be eliminated.
Whether you've received collection letters or you're already facing liens and garnishments, call for your free consultation. There are no upfront fees. Priority Tax Relief. Let's make your taxes our priority. Call 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195.
Priority Tax Relief.
From kickoff to cash out, ESPN Bet has the tools you need to score more on game days. Bet smarter with stats at your fingertips. Get personalized parlays built just for you. And with your fantasy team synced right in the app, you can back your squad. Right now, new customers get $100 in bonus bets when you bet $10. Sign up with promo code USL to get started. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Now that I'm a dad, I can't stop thinking about what would happen to my kids if something happened to me, like losing the house or not affording college.
Yeah, that used to keep me up at night too. It's why I finally got life insurance from Ethos. It's 100% online. No medical exams, just a few health questions. I got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day.
I never realized it was that simple. Get your free quote at ethos.com/game. That's ethos.com/game.
Rates may vary. Bill monthly. Sample rate 10-year term life policy for a 35-year-old healthy non-smoking man.
DraftKings Sportsbook at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles is your best bet this football season. Catch all the action and immerse yourself in over 3,200 square feet of LED screens. Wager, watch, and win in the sleekest setting with the best odds. Order some of your favorite bites and sip on an award-winning cocktail at your game day headquarters. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Louisiana's largest sportsbook at the Golden Nugget Casino Lake Charles, a two-hour drive from Houston. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Please call 1-877-770-STOP.
You've heard me talking about Two Creeks Crossing Resort. What a beautiful, relaxing place. We took the family when school got out, and we had a fantastic time. We stayed in the treehouse. You know the kids love that. I drove up after I got off work and was there in 90 minutes, which is pretty close to my normal commute. The family took it all in, from exploring their 92-acre property to fishing in the creeks and their catch-and-release pond, which the kids loved. Everybody had a great time, and we can't wait to go back. Book now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. Jeremy Branham here for my good friends at HR&P. For 25 years, my colleague, U of H class of 1990, has led HR&P protecting the interests of Cougar-owned businesses. HR&P provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. Cougar-owned businesses, let HR&P customize a plan to rid you of the demands of human resources, eliminate your HR burdens with HR&P, and get back to growing your business. Learn more by visiting hrp.net/U of H.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Kate Stover's going to be out for a while. Broken foot for the Texas tight end. They didn't have a lot of depth there, period. He was a versatile option. He was supposed to be someone who could help in the run game because even when Brevin Jordan was available, they didn't really have anyone you would consider a real run-blocking tight end. Dalton Schultz probably the worst of them all, if we just go by the evidence of last year. But he's supposed to give more effort this year. We'll see. But Kate Stover's going to be down for a while, 4 to 6 weeks for him. That's unfortunate because they like Kate Stover. I guess you would say they like everybody they're playing. But he has heard, well, we have heard really large amounts of praise for him. So 4 to 6 weeks, maybe more in line with indefinite, but they expect him to be back later in the season. So it is not a season ender for Kate Stover, but he'll be down a while Jake Andrews, another guy who's going to be out. He's got a high ankle sprain. Your starting center is going to be down for a bit. They feel fortunate that it wasn't worse. We will see how he responds, but he's going to miss some time. So the Texans, through week one, already missed a couple key guys on the offense. And we saw the shakeups that happened even before the game when Ed Ingram was unavailable. So they went away from what we thought would be their tackle situation by having Titus on the outside and Ursary. They had to change that and bring Cam Robinson into the game because apparently the combination of Juice Scruggs or Jared Patterson, whoever they wanted to play inside, was not something they wanted any part of. Mostly Juice Scruggs, I guess. But so he couldn't play. They switched some things around, and now that unit you saw to end the game with Patterson at center, Robinson and Ursary on the outside, and of course Titus Howard back inside, along with Lakin Thompson inside, is what you'll see, unless we hear word that the Cam Robinson injury that took him out of the game is worse than it appeared because he came back. You see that quite a bit. I'm always struck by it, that a guy will finish a game and then you hear he's unavailable. Like Brock Purdy, who finished the game against Seattle, threw, I won't say a prayer, but let's just say it was fortunate that ball got through for that touchdown to win the game. He's not going to be available for week two. He was able to finish the game, but I guess once the adrenaline wore off, they saw something that could be exacerbated by running him out there. So he's not going to be out there for week two. George Kittle, who was hurt earlier in the game, he's gone for weeks with the hamstring. So as they say, football has 100% injury rate, and the Texans suffered some of that throughout the course of the game. And I think the big thing I'm waiting on, we didn't hear much on Stingley yesterday. We didn't hear that he was going to be down. He's another guy who finished the game, but you could tell he was hampered by what appeared to be a hip injury. It occurred very early when Devonta Adams got drilled on a third and short conversion. You had Stingley on the backside, and Devonta Adams got hit by a linebacker, got bent back, and Stingley felt the brunt of it. So I would imagine, considering how he looked throughout that game, that he is someone that's going to pop up on the injury report tomorrow. We'll see if he's limited or he doesn't practice. We may hear at some point he'll be a game time decision, but I'd watch out for that. Luckily, he has an extra day with it being Monday Night Football.
Yeah, got an extra day. Mike Evans, Emeka Buka coming to town.
Yeah, I'd love that.
You're playing.
Okay, we're just going to run him out there.
Shoot him up. Yeah. Let's have him play.
I don't know if he would be in a position where he has to allow that. He already got paid, so in a different
era, about the stat of 0-2 teams making a play.
In a different era of football, you might have been able to get away with shooting Stingley up to run him out there. But at this point, he's already got his money. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let this heal. Yeah, I know. I know Evans and Abuka are coming to town.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to let this
sure
heal.
Are. I don't want to have to start Damon Arnett against him.
But you know what I don't want? I don't want to be on Monday Night Football getting cooked because I'm not healthy. I don't want that. I don't want to be embarrassed because I can't play at full strength.
I think one-legged Stingley would take over the backup outside corners.
Yeah, we talked about it. One injury to that secondary would really test the depth of it. Now, of course, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, we thought would be the major one, and he came back. He was ready to go week one. The Stingley one was certainly calling the question, maybe their lack of attention.
Shoot him up.
To the offense. I mean, to the defensive backfield, particularly the cornerback. Maybe he would allow that, but this is the same Derek Stingley who has missed a lot of games over the course of his career, excluding last year.
Yeah,
I don't think shoot him up was a thing he was inviting back then.
LSU was bad for a year, and he was like, nah, no thanks.
Was it the COVID year? Like,
yeah.
It was dangerous. I don't want to play. All these other guys are leaving.
Him and Jamar Chase.
Both decided. Jamar Chase was in.
Let's end on a high note. All right, guys.
Chase was practicing, I think, and then during fall camp decided, I'm good. It's COVID. I'm out. I believe that's how that went down. We thought because they talked all about giving him the number 7.
Yeah.
And then he was like, you know what?
You can keep that.
You can take that one with you. I'm done.
I don't want to waste it. Let someone else who is going to play for this bum-ass team.
Maybe. And I think LSU people would say, hey, if you played, we wouldn't be so bum-ass.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
He opted out to focus on his professional career and prepare for the draft. He made that decision in August. That's late. That's very late. They're in camp and getting prepared for the season. He goes, you know what? Yeah, this number 7 practice jersey looks pretty good, but you know what? Nah, it doesn't look better than me holding up that Bengals jersey in a year.
Yeah,
or less than a year at that point. And people were up in arms, and then they realized, you know what? It doesn't really matter. He's a pretty good player. In fact, a great player on the NFL level.
Well, it went from that to at rookie camp and during preseason.
He was dropping passes.
Yeah, and he said it was because they didn't have the lines on the ball, the white lines that college balls have. Yeah. And then, he was kind of the best receiver in football.
People wanted to jump on him so quick. He didn't play the last year. He was dropping passes. He was up against other big-time receivers. I think he was in the Waddle, Devontae Smith draft, and even Kyle Pitts was drafted, and people were talking about him as a generational player.
Yeah,
they're all in that draft, all drafted within mere spots of each other, and Ja'Marr Chase is out there dropping passes, and he mentioned lack of white lines, and people are like, soft ass, didn't even play last year, now can't even catch passes, get him out of here, and now look at him. He held the Bengals up so his boy can get a deal, and then he got a deal. So maybe we stop jumping to conclusions on people.
Ultimate team guy.
Yeah,
Well, not really team. Ultimate teammate guy.
Wide receiver room guy. Yeah. Ultimate positional room guy.
He got 1,400 yards as a rookie.
Yeah, people were talking about him like the drops were going to continue, and he was soft. Nah, you guys are wrong there. Sometimes takes are wrong. All right. We'll get to it when we come back because it is something that right now isn't a thought in anyone's mind. As I said in the previous segment and the first segment, like the level of blame never rises. In fact, it skips over the head man and jumps to the GM, and mostly because of the offensive line issues. But should at least DeMeco be held account for his team being undisciplined? We got sound for him talking about eye discipline that we'll play, but this is more about the stuff that happens that keeps you from winning football games. So we'll talk about that when we come back. We'll also do the misery index. We'll get into college football. We didn't really talk about it yesterday because of the Texans game. So we'll talk some college football. And look, there's a clear fan base at number one. They weren't happy coming into the year. They allowed the offseason to provide hope. And then 2 weeks into the season, they already think their coach should be out the door. So we'll talk about that. We'll get into some other teams who had some unfortunate losses over the weekend. And of course, we still got those Cougar tickets to give away. If you want a chance to go see the Cougs versus Colorado for free, keep listening. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets. But before we do that, let's talk about Monument Chevrolet. Well, they don't give away cars for free. They do give you great deals, and they allow the great people there to get you into the best car possible. So it's pretty simple. If you're looking for something new, pre-owned, or something for your business because you are trying to start a fleet for that business, the place to go to is Monument Chevrolet. So if you check out the inventory on monumentchevrolet.com, you'll see all the deals. Whether you're looking for the Chevy Silverado 1500 with the 2.9 APR for 72 months, the Equinox 1.9 APR for 90 days, or excuse me, no monthly payments for 90 days. It's all there for you. Check out all the deals. You don't need me to read them all for you. You can quickly go to monumentchevrolet.com and see all the great deals they provide. And then see that deal and take it to the take it to the lot. They're in Pasadena off of Bellway 8 and 225. And the best part about them is, besides the people that will help you, is the fact that if you see the deal on the website, once you head on out there, that ain't going to change. They're not going to fool you. The website isn't a trick. It's not simply just to get you out there. It's to tell you what they're offering. You get on out there, pick the car you want, and it'll be right there waiting for you. They got a wide selection of vehicles across the entire Chevy spectrum, whether it be a Silverado or a Trax or a Blazer. And, of course, that pre-owned inventory gives you more options as well. So, MonumentChevrolet.com is the website. They're in Pasadena off of Bellway 8 and 225. And, as always, Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Contact Tax Relief Helpers for details and restrictions.
Attention, anyone that owes money to the IRS. Every day, your unpaid tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. The longer you wait, the more you will end up paying. If you owe $10,000 or more, now is the time to settle your debt before the IRS takes aggressive action, like taking your wages or property. A special toll-free number has been established so you can stop penalty fees, avoid liens, levies, or other hostile measures by the IRS. Call Tax Relief Helpers right now.
I got behind on my taxes and owed $48,000. I called and they got my bill lowered to just $3,500.
I owed $87,000 in taxes and it was scary. I got the amount I owed down to just $3,500. I saved $83,500.
If you owe money to the IRS, don't wait another day. Your tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. Call right now before the IRS enforces liens, levies, or other aggressive measures. The call and consult are absolutely free. Call now.
Call 800-692-7009. 800-692-7009. That's 800-692-7009.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter Trusted Pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Follow us on socials at ESPN Houston and don't forget to have our push notifications on.
You gotta change your push notifications. Look.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So let's hear from D'Amico Ryans on a couple of, well, really the only two drives where the Rams did anything. Unfortunately, those resulted in touchdowns. It's a difference in the game. They scored touchdowns on their chances. The Texans kick field goals. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the lack of discipline regarding their eyes for when it came to defending the Rams.
Main thing was just eye discipline. Right? We didn't play with great eye discipline, so they made plays when our eyes were not in the right spot. We're looking in the backfield. They're throwing the football. Guess what? The guy's going to be wide open. So that's things that we control, and that's the main thing about this game. Rams did a good job, but there are a lot of things that we control, penalties, eye discipline, just the urgency. We control all of that.
I don't have a tracker for it, but I imagine D'Amico Ryans has spent a lot of post-game pressers, particularly after losses, because after wins, stuff doesn't get asked about. I imagine he spent a lot of time talking about his team committing penalties. And as much hope as we have for this team, the belief that they're pretty talented, specifically defensively, because as long as they're not major injuries on that side, they have frontline players, stars across the board on that side. The offense, of course, we got questions about. They're not talented enough to overcome the things that they consistently do. Pre-snap penalties, a hold because your offensive line isn't great. I mean, the effort on defense, those penalties come with effort. I'm not going to crush them for that. But when you score 9 points and you can point to a penalty here, and then, of course, a sack will take you out of range for points, I think it's a concern that should at least be talked about, that this has been the case over, what, now we're at 40 games? We're officially 39 games in D'Amico Ryans, his tenure, the 19 games last year, the 19 before with the two playoff games, and this year. We're at 39 games where penalties continue to be a thing that holds this team back. And they have the ability to win this division again. But as we talked about before the year, that is no longer the goal. I mean, sure, it's the goal because it's the first step in reaching bigger goals, but it's not the end goal. Playing on Peacock or Netflix or whoever gets the Saturday matinee game, I only want that to be the case because you're Houston and they don't want to put you there, not because you're in the game where all right, let's, you're the four against the five, or you're the three against the six. I would like this team to be at a spot where, no, we're going, you're a two seed, and well, of course a one means you get the bye, but if you're a two, or maybe even a three that people believe can really win, maybe we get a Nance or Nance slash Romo game. I would even hope for a Tirico game. You know, I don't want the third crew from insert the network to cover the game. I just want to get out of the Saturday time slot, and I don't think it's reserved for Houston. If they did things to kind of show that they are a real contender, real contenders don't get put in that slot unless they're trying to get people to Peacock, and they'll put an exclusive Peacock Kansas City Chiefs playoff game. But real contenders don't get put in that slot, and that's why the Texans have always been there. You know what? That's my goal for the year. Whatever playoff game they play, I want it out of the Saturday matinee slot. Fine. Maybe you're not good enough to have a bye. Maybe you're not good enough to be the two seed. I don't want it to be a foregone conclusion that, they won their 10-11 games. Well, we kind of know the deal. Let's slide them into the matinee and let's keep it moving, because we got bigger fish on the hook.
Yeah. Monday night game, wild card weekend.
I mean, it's different and maybe a little odd because we're not used to it, although it's been a thing the last couple of years. But I take it. Give me Buck and Aikman on Monday night. Like, because I think ESPN has a game on Saturdays. They'll have a Saturday game and a Monday night game.
Historically, one of the Texans have played on.
Yeah, you know what? ESPN, I don't want Steve Levy calling the game.
Lou Riddick?
No. If we are destined to be playing Wild Card Weekend, which it just appears to be.
Joe Tessitore? Can we get Joe Tessitore?
I just don't want the second crew, is what I'm saying. Whoever you just. Joe Tessitore might be calling a college football game.
Yeah, he's actually doing. Yeah, he's doing.
He's doing a major college football game that weekend,
Pitt
probably.
Florida State.
Yeah. I just don't want the second crew anymore. And while penalties aren't the only reason they wind up there, they're a team who is imperfect like a lot of teams, but they just add to they decrease their margin for error when they commit the number of penalties they do. 11.
Yeah.
Why is that now? Why are the Texans now one of the most penalized teams of football over the course of DeMeco Ryan's tenure?
And it's not a thing where it's like it's this attacking defense that's racking up penalties. It's
they'll
like
get a personal foul every now and again, but it's not the main reason. It's things
illegal motion.
It's things that have nothing to do with inside the play.
It has nothing to do with the defense.
Legal shifts.
Really. Yeah, it's off stupid offensive stuff.
So it is not his side of the ball, but you're the coach. You're the coach, so you're responsible for everything.
Yeah, it's just such a it's such a weird thing that it's just like it's. I guess if you want to say like, hey, this was still game one of Nick Haley, so it was
game 38. Of Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, but that was Bobby Slowick.
What's the common denominator with Bobby Slowick and Nick Haley?
DeMeco Ryan's hired them both. But he shouldn't be fired.
No, I'm not saying he should be fired, but I'd like him to clean this up.
Okay.
Yes, that's the end point on this. I don't want him fired. This is not a conversation about getting him fired. But, yes, your defense is great. What you've done to build that thing along with Casario, kudos. Where did I learn kudos? Probably not from my mom, but that's where Dustin thinks CJ Stroud learned lollygagging from.
Yeah, it's a big parent.
His mother might have said it to him at some point. If you missed the first segment, we're trying to figure out where CJ Stroud learned the word lollygagging from that he used to describe how his team's effort in the week of practice leading up to the Rams game. But, yes, kudos to what the Texans have done to build a competitive roster. But the penalties are not something you can overcome. They have proven that to be the case year over year over year. Along with lack of hitting on offensive linemen, the penalties put a ceiling on what you can be, because you're not removing every obstacle, because you add a level to every game where not only do you have to beat the other team, you have to find a way to beat yourself in the positive way. I know penalties help you beat yourself, but overcome your mistakes, I guess I should say. And it's been a consistent over 39 games. The Texans will do dumb things to short-circuit their chance to win. And we thank goodness they play in the AFC South, because that has certainly helped them get to double-digit wins over,
yeah,
their over the first two seasons.
I pulled up Bill O'Brien's coaching record to see when it'll catch up to D'Amico Ryan's.
Yeah.
He's got a while.
The AFC South will allow for him to continue to have a very highly penalized team and still win enough games to make the playoffs.
Bill O'Brien went 9-7 the first 3 years he was a coach in for the
Doesn't
Texans.
Matter, Brian. Doesn't matter, Sean.
And in the second of those two, he won back-to-back. Or the last two of those three, he won AFC South champions. Then he went 4-12, drafted Deshaun Watson. 11-5, okay. 10-6, back-to-back division champs. 0-4 in 2020.
Fired.
Get his ass out of here.
Yeah.
I think D'Amico Ryans will have an even longer leash because people like him. People just didn't like Bill O'Brien.
We're not hearing the stories what was going on inside Bill O'Brien's tenure.
Winning the division four of your six total years, and then four of the last 5 years, and just being like
0-4, they wouldn't even give him
give
him a bad year.
Please,
he had to go. They were sick of him. Yeah, D'Amico Ryans is not an apple.
No, he'll coach you for 6 years, 7 years before it even like starts to get real, because I think as long as they have a relatively good defense, which I think they'll have as long as D'Amico Ryans is the coach, and as long as they have CJ Stroud, like, they can get to 9 or 10 wins, and they can win the division and lose in the divisional round. Like,
yeah.
That is just something that it's very achievable to do, and at some point people will get sick of it, but they took them 6 years to get sick of it with Bill O'Brien, and people like D'Amico Ryan, so I think it'll take longer than 6 years.
Yeah, people like going to the playoffs. And while you never reach beyond a certain point, getting to the playoffs, winning a playoff game more often than not, people like. And
honestly, if you do just keep showing up, like, eventually something, like, you will get to be the team that plays the TJ Yates led Houston Texans at some point. Like, you'll get the, like,
some quarterback got hurt.
Yeah, the Connor Cook Raiders, where you're just like, oh, so we get to play the easy team.
Yeah.
Okay.
It could very well happen.
Now we're in the AFC Championship game. We did nothing to deserve it.
All of a sudden, we're in a spot we've never been in before.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can take advantage of it. Yeah. Once, as I said to start, this isn't about, hey, put him on hot seat. But I'd just like him to fix one of the bigger issues over the course of his tenure. Your team, particularly on offense, can't get out of their own way when it comes to procedural penalties. And then you throw in a holding for good measure every now and again to really kill a drive. All right, we'll go to break with that. I'm not going to pound the table. I'm not going to demand it. It's a polite ask. Hey, can you fix this thing? Because you reference it every time your team loses generally. It's about the penalties, the lack of discipline. And the eye discipline thing was simply, hey, the Rams are running play action. And that's how those guys got wide open for touchdowns. It's got to be sickening for him to build a defense like that and feel like you're just giving away touchdowns. Like if a guy makes a play on Lassiter or Stingley, It's not going to happen very much, so you'll just take it. But when you got guys running wide open because you got guys staring in the backfield, it's got to be a killer to him as a former defensive player himself. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll give away tickets when we come back. We'll do that to close out hour one. So if you are looking to get Cougs tickets, we'll do that for you. In fact, I'll give you the time right now. 11 o'clock, caller 4. 11 o'clock, caller 4 wins a pair of tickets to watch the Cougs versus the Colorado Buffaloes. So the number is 713-780-3776 to win those tickets. And it's part of Hispanic Heritage Night. There'll be a Hispanic Heritage halftime show. The Spirit of Houston will perform songs from Selena, and the UH Mariachi Pumas will take the field for a special performance. Get ready for a night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, and unforgettable moments. Nothing beats the tradition, pageantry, and the roar of the crowd at a Houston Cougar football game. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS. Get your tickets today. Come early, be loud, and wear red. Tailgating starts at 3:30 p.m. Cougs on Parade is at 5:20 p.m. We are giving away a pair of tickets at 11 o'clock to caller 5, 713-780-3776. 3776. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to get in on something beyond Cougar tickets, you can certainly call in as well. We've got to talk some college football. We did not touch on it very much. We'll get to that when we come back.